Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of the Multiple Voices podcast, and a guest against all odds, sleet, rain, snow. Finally, I'm here with Mayrav Zur. Say hello, Mayrav, to our guests.
Hello, and thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good. Finally be here. We've tried. Yeah. We had a number of setbacks, but here we go. So yes. Who is Mayrav? Mayrav's talking to us from Atlanta now, and she's a performing arts professional with over 16 years experience as a performer, a producer, a writer, a director, and a theater educator. Now, there's so many things that are interesting about what you do. And the first thing I always jump on is improvisation, because improvisation seems to be a skill that underlies everything. What made you get into improvisation, Mayrav?
I think, you know, I was into acting and performing, and then through studies, when I was, you know, studying to do it professionally, naturally it's integrated into all the studies, you know, improvisation basics and exercises and all that. And I immediately connected to that and fell in love with it. So yeah, that was my first realization that I love it.
Well, when you were acting, what were you doing? What did they cast you at? I mean, what kind of parts did you have?
I was acting, well, you mean professionally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I started earlier, but professionally, I started, you know, I got an agent and whatever I was sent to do. So I was doing commercials for like random objects and things and food and whatever. And I did a feature film. I did, you know, background work. I did lots of different.
Oh, what do you mean? Stuff. What is background work?
And background work is like when you're watching a TV show or a movie, and you have a scene where there are actors that are in a place with other people, let's say a restaurant or a festival or whatever, and you see other people. Those people are not real people from the actual festival or restaurant. Those are actors that are hired to portray background characters.
Oh,
so okay. They and don't usually have lines.
Well, what would a typical day acting as a background?
Oh my gosh, background. Luckily, I didn't do that much. I was focused on acting, but I did. I think I did like, I did one project. It was for a TV show. And so the way they filmed it, they filmed pretty much, it was a set of like 10 episodes in one day that they filmed certain scenes from. So I was there, I think I was there for like a couple of days of filming as background. And yeah, that was it. The day we were told to bring some extra clothes for this project. Oh. We weren't provided with clothes. Ah. And so, you know, that's what we did. We were told, okay, now you stand here by the wall and pretend you're having a conversation with this person. You sort of lip sync a conversation and you're like reacting and laughing and listening and angry and whatever it is. It's
Are they usually long days?
Those days were pretty long. Yeah, it was from morning to afternoon. We had like a lunch break there and everything, if I recall. But and typically, even as an actor of like, you know, an actual role or supporting role, leading role, whatever it is, you're also working long hours, just because it's just really funny, you know, a scene that you will see that is a minute long or 2 minutes long can sometimes take, you know, a couple hours or more to film, because you film, you know, different sides or perspectives.
Yeah.
And that's how you see the close-ups from behind his shoulder and behind his shoulder. And,
right.
And so, yeah, it takes a while. And all that takes prep of setting and lighting and everything.
Right. So let's say that I know big names would bring big bucks and other people would have to, but being completely ignorant on the subject, and I'm just trying to compare it to things that I have done. And I imagine there's a wide spectrum of how people get paid. Is it usually by the day or is it literally by the hour?
It's usually by the day. I mean, the projects that I've done, only because it's very rare to be there by the hour. But that day, that some amount is usually calculated by the amount of hours you're there. Some days can be, I don't know, 3 hours, and some days can be, you know, full day, which is, it just depends. And, you know, I worked on film. I worked abroad. And so the industry was different. Mm-hmm. And most of my work was theater, and theater payment calculation is completely different.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you've worked theater, they compare very, there's very little overlap with the work done in theater, and you're on. I mean, there is no takes, and you know, you are on. How did you like that kind of work?
I love it. I love it. I love screen work too. It's just a different medium.
Yeah.
And screen work allows you for a lot of stuff to do that you can't do in theater. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a different medium, but I love that. I mean, of course, that part that you said that there's no other take, that's kind of the scary part, in a way, but I love that because there's this hanging thing, like not danger, but this sort of thing, this unexpected thing that you never know what's going to happen. It's just like, you know, when people see even, you know, the big shows that, you know, everyone talks about, if they go day after day, they won't see the same exact show. It's just, it's just naturally that way. And I love that. I love that. It's, you know, it has to take out of you as an actor. It takes out of you a different side each time.
Yeah, it's like a little more like life, really.
Yeah.
Unexpected, you know.
Yeah.
And ups and downs. And so, but there, I started with the improvisation, and I guess it, you know, lies at the basis of many different forms of performance. And performing is a big umbrella. It includes a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a curveball. Did you ever sing? Were you ever required to sing?
Yeah.
Do you know how to sing?
Nope.
All right. Now I want the backstory to this.
As a short answer, that was a yes and a no. I never went to a theatrical or screen audition roles that are singing roles. Uh-huh. I never went to those auditions because I don't want to, I mean, I'm not going to waste someone's time, and I'm not going to waste my time to go to something that I know I can't do. It's like, if there was like a role for like, you know, a professional water skier or something like that, I'm not going to do that because that just, you know, and it doesn't work. So I never went to those, but, when I started professionally, working as an actor, I very quickly, I mean, everything I just told you about, you know, the audition roles I did was condensed to a very minimal amount of years, because I quickly went into creating my own work. I didn't like waiting around for the perfect audition or role or waiting on the whim of some producer to pick me. And so I quickly made my own work, and I liked it. I liked being able to be creative and do that. So I did that, but within that framework, I had created plays where there were singing parts that I was also performing in. So I also inevitably sang, but I always made,
was it, I mean, did you have to belt out big?
Right. So, so I made sure that my specific roles were not the ones that, you know, the singing depended on it, because I'm not, I don't want to put out a subpar production.
Right.
So I did usually background stuff, or I did more kind of like rappy singing, which I do. I mean, I now have this whole solo show and it's somewhat musical, but all those musical parts are more spoken than sung,
right,
because that's how I do it.
Yeah, I could imagine. I could visually imagine you in your home preparing and in a mirror, you know, sometimes in a mirror, sometimes not in a mirror, as you walk around.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to kid myself. I know my limits and I know my abilities. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to do something that I know that I cannot do, but I can strive for better. So those productions that I did sing in, I worked on it. I had, you know, a musical director and coach and everything. Like I worked on that. But to go for that, or to make myself like the main role of belting, like hitting that note, I know I won't be able to do that. That's not me. Mm-hmm. I have other strengths.
Okay. So let's get down to, the comedy side to it. I mean, is comedy something you choose, or does comedy choose you? Because it's so specific.
That's a very interesting phrasing of the question. Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a chicken and the egg type of thing, maybe. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, when I was, you know, as a human, ever since I was growing up and now, I always love comedy. I always tend to lean toward comedy. I always tend to choose to watch something comedic, or, you know, in a conversation, make it lighter with some, like, maybe inappropriate joke or something like that. I always tend to veer that way. So I've always liked it, and being able to use that professionally is like, oh, wait, I can have that as a tool. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
so...
Well, where do you get your inspiration for comedy, usually? What's a good source of inspiration for you?
If you're talking about something that I'm creating in terms of comedy.
Yes, I mean your lines, your jokes, your show.
Mm-hmm. Real life. I mean, there's so many situations that are, if you just need to like step back and have a different perspective of it, there's things that are so surreal and ridiculous. It's just funny. Like,
give me an example.
The first thing that comes to mind, this may require a bit of a backstory. So, you know, something that I was thinking of, a joke. I mean, it's not that I don't think, okay, I need a joke.
Right,
let's create a joke.
Right.
It's just something that, you know, happens. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I need to think of something good of like, but I do want to tell you this example, which is great, because when I'm writing something, which is creating something that hasn't been done yet, we haven't performed it yet, then it's a different kind of thinking of a joke. And I'm like, oh, this is funny. I'll write it in. But I think the funniest parts are when I'm at that rehearsal stage where we're already, you know, working on the texted words. But we're working and then something pops up, like someone says something, or I think of something, like, you know, I add a little, you know, under the breath, like comment, and it's hilarious. And I'm like, okay, I'm keeping that. That was funny. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And that's unexpected. That wasn't anything I wrote before. And you see that also a lot in things that people see now, TV shows and movies, that a lot of the what essentially was a blooper, not anything planned, they end up keeping it. Because it just works. It's so real and it's so funny. So those things are great too.
Yeah. And you, in the introduction, I briefly mentioned a theater educator. What is that all about?
Well, through my work that I created, you know, shows and productions, mm-hmm. I essentially at some point created this entire theater of all these productions. But through that, because naturally I would meet audiences and people, I saw this need for also like theater classes and courses for different kinds of people. So that's how I got into that. I was essentially coaching these groups of, you know, a full course or workshops or even one-on-one. So anything from, let's say, kids who want to try it out
And
And it gives them so much more than actually being an actor. This is a lot into that. This is teamwork. This is creativity.
Right.
It's, you know, not being judged, being in a safe place, in some cases, practicing a language. You know, right. there's so much encompassed here. So that working with adults, whether they're specifically the groups that are not professional actors, that are not thinking of going into it, but they want to try to kind of loosen up or maybe kind of tap into their creativity or figure out how to use these tools for their own jobs of like public speaking or things like that.
Right.
And also one-on-one, I've worked with also working professional actors who want to anything from improving their American accents to, you know, anything. Right. So I've done pretty much the whole gamut of kind of working in that field. And it's very interesting. It's fun too.
You brought up the accents. That was going to be my next question. How much, I guess, well, I'm not going to say it's a monologue because a person does say things, but there are other people there, you know, third person, second person, dialogue, you know. How much of it is is the interpretation of a person's language, dialect language specifications or characteristics that include even border on a dialect of another language? Is how much of that is there any?
It really depends on the story and the project itself.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, let's say if we're working on, you know, a play or a movie,
right.
There's some instances where the story calls for a specific dialect or language.
Right.
Like,
right.
for example, if it's a historical piece, let's say based in France that took, you know, I don't know, it took part in the late 1700s. Most likely those characters spoke French and only French.
Right.
But you might not be able to cast French speaking actors or the production is going to be in English.
Right.
So it's kind of a decision of the director. Do we want to have people speaking like, you know, accent?
What about you yourself? Are there accents you prefer?
To use or
To use,
to listen to?
That to come out of your mouth.
I'm not great at all accents. So I obviously prefer to use the ones I'm good at. And I always joke around that my best foreign accent is Canadian because it isn't really different from Western.
Well, no,
English,
they have a cadence. They do
they
have a cadence.
The Inuit, but you know, besides that, it's pretty similar. So that's easy for me to say, but I do draw upon my, you know, I grew up in Atlanta, so I'm able to draw that Southern accent sometimes when I need it. So that's always fun.
What
to
about
do.
Foreign accents? Are you mentioned
and foreign accents? Before. I can do, you know, a little bit only because I also lived in that, in an area with a lot of, you know, foreign accents and I'm used to it. And also, you know, I've heard it all while growing up. So I can tap into those and, you know, it's fun. It's fun to use an accent because it gives it a whole, other layer to your character. And that's, you know, beyond, you know, there's also like tone and the way and mannerisms and the way people speak, there's like so much, not just accent. So it's just another layer.
So Mayrav, let's say that, you were given a job and you're ready to go. Or let's say your main source, do you still have an agent now?
No, I'm in between agents right now.
Okay. So let's say that, let's imagine that you did have an agent. Okay. And your agent says to you out of the blue, you're with your old agent. Okay. You haven't left the other agent. They say to you, you know, I really, as you know, your work is very popular, but I'm seeing that you're being booked in the same type places. I would like to make you soar. What would your input be? Would your input be something to the effect of, well, to make me really soar, I would need to do this. Could you do that? I mean, is that how you would react? Or would
Probably.
You cry?
No. I think, you know, it's, I mean, it depends from where it comes from. If someone I'm working with should be in it to win it with me, you know, in a sense, this is a relationship where you're, you want to help each other.
Relationship. Yeah. The agent is a relationship.
So I think, of course, it's like, okay, what can I do to help you? And what can you do to help me?
Right.
Yeah. So it's, of course, if there's something that can be done, and everything, I think in life also, it's a learning opportunity. Like what did you do? Is it good? Is it not? What worked? What didn't? How can we learn from that to improve? Like, it's always like,
is there something that you would really love to do that you haven't done yet in this field?
In acting?
Yeah, I mean, in acting, really producing, cool. Theater, improv, comedy.
I mean, I love it all, but, you know, just as when you said that, I'm like, wow, a good, you know, action comedy would be awesome.
What do you mean by action comedy?
Action comedy is pretty much an action movie with a lot of comedic.
Well, like when you said action comedy, I thought of slapstick, you know.
Stooges. It's action, like a good old action, like, you know, running, chasing after bad guys, anything like that, beating up people.
But that's, you're talking about still a monologue, right?
Oh, no, it would be with other people. Uh-huh. Although that would be interesting to do a one woman. A solo superhero dealing with her own, you know. Yeah.
So an action comedy, do you have an example of an action comedy that's
action comedy, like, I don't know, maybe Bad Boys the movie. You know, it's kind of like, it's an action movie, but there's a lot of, you know, comedy intertwined in it.
So. Yeah. Wow. So there is, I mean, there's the sky's the limit here. It really is the sky's the limit. Of all of the people that you work with, all different age groups and genders, and is there someone, some kind of age group, which type of age group you prefer working with?
Well, I mean, honestly, with, you know, the age group that I worked with in terms, like, different age groups, I worked with different ways. So I've worked with children as actors, but I was on the production and direction side.
Right.
I think I did maybe one thing ever that was professionally acting with a professional child actor. So I don't really know if, you know, I can't really compare that, but working with actors of any age and any background is actually very, very cool. And every time you work with someone new, it's awesome, because it's like another, it's a whole new perspective. It's a whole, you know, all their background. So I love that.
Good. This is, I mean, I could safely say to the whole audience, I knew that woman. I know that woman. We're going to see you in lights and more.
Yay.
Do you often now, I remember when we spoke, you talked about having lived abroad and then you had just recently come back.
Right.
Do you have the opportunity to work abroad currently?
Currently, no, because most of the work I did abroad was theater. So that is not really feasible remote. I've actually done it remote, but virtual is not the same as in person.
Of course.
I'm going to be, I guess, in between the screen and stage roles, which is cool. It's two different things. So it's nice.
Mayrev, I have here all of your social media. I have your website.
Yeah.
Which is mayravzura.com, and your Instagram is The Inconceivable Show. Where did that name come from?
So Inconceivable is my most recent production. It's my first solo show. And it's a comedy about infertility. So Inconceivable is a play on words. So it's inconceivable.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You can't even think that this could happen. And inconceivable as in can't conceive.
How nice. So, how nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's that show. And, it's also as horrible as the content is, and is not funny as the content is, it is a funny and fun show. So.
Good. You've turned a situation upside down.
Yeah.
Facebook is also Inconceivable Show. Twitter is also Inconceivable SH.
Twitter is Inconceivable only because I didn't have enough room and that's all I was given. So that was it. I said fine. Yeah, I'm more active on social media on the Inconceivable Show. It was just, that was the most recent thing that I've been more active on. So I'm there, but you know, people can also find me online on my website.
Right. And also you have a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
And I'll put the link underneath. Would you, let's talk about this infertility. Let's say that there are many women listening and they have this problem of infertility. What would you suggest, apart from telling them that they should stand on their head and laugh about it, but is there anything you can suggest to them in within your profession that would be able to help them?
Yeah, I mean, I actually would probably not suggest to stand on their head and, and laugh about it, because a lot of people are not ready to be in that space. And I myself experienced it, and not, I did not talk about it for years. So I know exactly that space.
Yeah.
And if, and I also know that space of, you know, kind of tactless suggestions that people always have the urge of saying.
Right.
So I'm treading cautiously, but if I had to suggest something, I would just say to just maybe have a person that you can talk to, because it's a thing that's very easily, you get in your own zone and you get into this, like, I'm okay, I don't need to tell anyone. No, no one needs to know. And I've been there, and I thought, I'll be fine, I don't need this. And it's hard. It's hard. A very big mental toll.
Yeah. So what are you doing now? Is this Inconceivable show? Is that the latest? Is that
So it actually, it officially came out in towards the end of 2017.
Yeah.
And it was really picking up, and then everything shut down in the pandemic. Right. Clearly, because it's theater, and that was hard to do.
Right.
So now things are kind of slowly, somewhat going back.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful to get back to doing in person shows again.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll be looking out for that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming, Mayrav.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy finally that we could get on the show.
Yes.
And get on air. Thanks a lot. A big hug and kiss to you, Mayrav.
To you too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.